Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Esteemed listeners of Sirius FM and Markaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah, we say Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. We welcome you to this program, Al-Fiqhu ala al-Madhahib al-Arba'a, Jurisprudence according to the four schools of thought. Today's date is the 7th of Rabiul Awal, 1443, corresponding to the date 14th October 2021. We continue with our series, the third, which is namely Imam Shafi Rahmatullah Alayh, and we have our Honorable Mufti Saab here. Hazrat Mufti Saab, Assalamu Alaikum wa Rahmatullahi wa Barakatuh.
Wa Alaikum Assalam wa Rahmatullahi wa Barakatuh. Barakallahu Feekum wa Nazaid Khan. Jazakallahu Khairan. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. That we continue with Imam Shafi'i Rahimahullah in today's lesson. Previously we discussed Imam Abu Hanifa Rahimahullah and Imam Malik Rahimahullah. So who is Imam Shafi'i Rahimahullah? His name is Muhammad bin Idris bin Abbas, and remember his kunya is Abu Abdullah, and he goes right up to Qurashi and a Shafi'i and so forth. So anyway, with his lineage, he meets Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam's lineage there at Abd Manaf. So that is how we come to know that he is a pure Arab and he belongs to the family of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. He was born in the year 150 in Gaza in Palestine. And remember, that's the year Imam Abu Hanifa passed away, so obviously they could not have met. And secondly, his father passed away. At the age of 2, his mother brought him here to Makkah Mukarramah, and lo and behold, one of his first teachers was Muslim bin Khalid Azanji, an African teacher. And this was the conversation that continued between them. He asked him, Ya Fata, min aina anta? From where are you? He said, min ahli Makkah. And he asked that, aina manziluk? Where is your house and so forth? So he said, bishi'i bil hanif, meaning they're nearby. So which tribe are you from? Min ayyi qabilatin anta? So he said, min abdi manaf. So he said, bakh bakh, out of happiness. That Muslim bin Ibrahim Zanji said, لَقَدْ شَرَّفَكَ اللَّهُ فِي الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ Allah has made you that and given you honor in this world and in the year after. So it shows, you must remember, that he studied by him. At the age of 7, he by-hearted the entire Quran Sharif. Thereafter, he went to Madinah Munawwara, and subhanallah, we find in 9 days, 10 days, he by-hearted, remember, Muwatta Malik at the age of 10. This is the karamat of Imam Shafi'i, rahimahullah, such a big book to by-heart and memorize it in 9, 10 days. And at the age of 15, the same Muslim bin Ibrahim Zanji gave him permission that he can issue fatawa and verdicts and so forth. That is Muslim bin Khalid Zanji, who was the Mufti of Makkah at that time there. So subhanallah, we see that how he acquired knowledge. So one of his first teachers thereafter was Imam Malik rahimahullah, and he was very much, remember, in Makkah learning poetry and Arabic language and so forth. When you study, you must remember Arabic literature, that you find that Imam Ismail, who was a linguist par excellence, he says that I used to go and understand the Arabic language from what Imam Shafi'i rahimahullah used to say. Meaning, he was considered like an imam, and he was an imam in Lugha, in the Arabic language and so forth and so on. And thereafter, when he went to, you know, Baghdad and those areas, then he went there, and mashallah, he became the student of Imam Muhammad bin Hassan Shaybani. Imam Muhammad bin Hassan Shaybani is a student of Imam Abu Hanifa, rahimahullah, and Imam Malik, rahimahullah. And he's the ustad, remember, of Imam Shafi'i, rahimahullah. Therefore, Imam Shafi'i says, Lola, that if there weren't two men, Lola Rajulain, if there weren't two men in my life, so meaning if I should not meet these two people, Lakuntu Rajulam min al Muslimin, I should be just ordinary person. So who are these two men? A. Sufyan bin Uyayna fil Hadith. The greatest ustad I met and received knowledge from in hadith was Sufyan bin Uyayna rahimahullah, and in fiqh Imam Muhammad bin Hassan Shaybani. Therefore, even in his Musnad al-Shafi'i, so you will find 7 places he mentions Imam Muhammad's name and so forth. So that is something very, very great. And then remember, it was the ending of the month of Rajab, and it was the night of Jumu'ah, and he passes away, and this was in the year 204. So therefore, he's buried there, remember, in Cairo, in Egypt. We went to his Mubarak grave also. And at the age of 54, he passes away. Subhanallah. But what a revolution and inspiration he was for the people, the great legacy he left behind. That is Imam Shafi'i rahimahullah. And among his greatest students is Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahimahullah. So we can see that Imam Shafi'i rahimahullah, mashallah, that great, great inspiration and great legacy to the latter generations as well.
Mufti Saab, with regards to the taqwa of Imam Shafi'i rahmatullah alayk, can Mufti Saab please explain?
Remember that all these imams, you must remember their taqwa, their piety, and all that was beyond today what we can perceive, comprehend, and understand. Let me just give you 3-4 incidents, then you will understand it. When Imam Shafi'i rahimahullah was in Makkah, so obviously in those days, that the well of Zamzam is just there in front of them. So every day drinking so much Zamzam. Al-Imam Shafi'i rahimahullah used to make 3 du'as. One du'a, O Almighty Allah, grant me ilmun wafir, profound, abundant knowledge. Wafa'atahu iya, Allah Jalla wa'ala gave him that. There's no scholar among the Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah who will deny that. Second du'a he used to make, Ya Allah, their love for the Sunnah, Sunnah Nabawiya. Kul in kuntum tuhibbun Allah fattabi'uni. Say, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if you love Almighty Allah, fattabi'uni. Follow me immaculately. So that is because when you study the word ittiba, then you know it comes from the word tabi'. When the cow gives birth to the calf, you call it tabi or tabi'a, male or female, the calf. So remember how that calf follows the mother everywhere. So similarly, that we also have to follow Nabi alayhi salam immaculately. Yuhbibkumullah, you become the beloved of Almighty Allah, wa yaghfir lakum dhunubakum. And remember Surah 3 verse 31, your sins will be forgiven. He used to make dua after drinking Zamzam. Ya Allah, make me a master Rami. Rami means a master archer, a master marksman. He states himself, most of the time has to hit 9 out of 10 and sometimes 10 out of 10. Meaning that, you know, we say that today you become a sharpshooter when you are shooting. So with bullets and guns and all that. Those times they were busy with bow and arrow. So subhanallah, this was the love of the sunnah of Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Fa'atahu iya. Allah gave him that also. And third dua he made, Ya Allah, grant me Jannat al-Firdaus. So that also will happen, inshaAllah, through the fadl, grace and mercy of Almighty Allah Azza wa Jalla. I give you one incident. One day, Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahimahullah invited him. And every day he used to speak of his teacher, my ustad, Imam Shafi'i like this, Imam Shafi'i like this. So people would ask him, oh Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal, tell us about your teacher. He said, a Shafi'i ka shamsi lid dunya. That Shafi, Imam Shafi, is like how the sun is for this world. How the sun, S-U-N, illuminates the world. Imam Shafi illuminated the world with his knowledge. Therefore, we the Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah, there's a hadith in Abu Dawood, where you'll find at the beginning of every century, then Allah Jalla wala sends, may you jaddidu hadha deen. People who will come as a mujaddid and reformer and revive this deen. So remember, for the first century finished and the second century started, Umar bin Abdul Aziz rahimahullah. From 99 to 101, that he ruled this ummah. And what a great legacy he left behind for the rulers and for the public. So he's the first. Second one, Imam Shafi rahimahullah. He also, 150 to 204. So he becomes the second mujaddid of this ummah. So look at how Allah accepted him in all fields. Whether you study tafsir, hadith, fiqh, Arabic language, every field you must remember, you will find that he has made some great contribution. So his student, Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal, invites him, and they elated and excited and delighted. So now the food he ate much more than normal, like you know. He ate 2 plates, 3 plates, 4 plates like that. So even Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal was wondering, my ustad is so hungry today. So he ate more than normal basically. Then his daughter, Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal's daughter, and them, they put water, what we call like a lota, like a can of water those days, so that when he wakes up the Tahajjud time, everything will be ready and so forth. So, Fajr time, when they went to the masjid, so they went to go see everything is okay in the room. They saw the water there was untouched. So now the daughter was now perplexed. So she asked her father, Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal, in privacy, you telling us, Imam Shafi, my ustad, all that. The man ate so much food, number one. Then number two, he never even read the Tahajjud Salat. So what's the story here? So even Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal was now a little bit, you understand, wondering that what should happen. So with respect and adab, he said, oh ustad, how come you ate so much, much more than normal? And how come that the water is untouched? He said, it's true. You know, Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal, when your father passed away, Ahmad bin Muhammad bin Hanbal, that's a full name. So you must remember, when your father passed away, so you did not take anything from that estate because you had little bit doubt. Not haram, just doubt regarding 1-2 transactions your father made. I could feel the nuraniyat, I could feel that the nur in the food and so forth. So I knew that this is halalan tayyiba tayyiba. So therefore I ate much more than normal because there was so much nuraniyat, radiance in this food that you fed. Then when I went to go rest that night, I supposed to sleep, some ayat of the noble Quran came into my mind. Whilst you all were sleeping, I was making istimbat and deriving, extracting fatawa and masail from the Quran Sharif and the Sunnah. You all slept, you read tahajjud, mashallah, very good. I did not sleep all night and I extracted over 50-70 basail, and I could benefit, the ummah could benefit, I was in the state of wudu. So these are our akabir, these are our salaf esali, ulaika abai vajikni bimislihim ya jarir. You say in Arabic, the poetry, that these are my forefathers, these are our great, great giants, bring for me similar to them. You must remember that what things they did. If you just read what the ulama had to say of Imam Shafi, rahimahullah, so you must remember that Yahya ibn Sa'id al-Qattan used to say that ana ad'ullah li Shafi'i fi salati min arba'i sinin. He says, for 4 years in my salat, I used to make dua for Shafi'i. Such a giant he was and so forth. Remember his teacher Muslim bin Khalid Zanji says, wallahi, that this person here, that you can give fatawa and verdict, and you are only 15 years old. That those days the ustad must just give you permission and you start giving fatawa. So who can give fatawa at the age of 15? We can't even give fatawa when we're 40-50 properly. And at the age of 15, 1-5, so that is the... So you must remember this type of things here. That was how the ulama praised him. And remember, he was a person who Almighty Allah Jalla Wala blessed in all fields if you look at him. So you must remember, Dawud Zahiri used to say, Kana Shafi'u Sirajan. He was the lamp and lantern of this ummah. So it shows that people across the board, they would praise Imam Shafi'i Rahimahullah. And if you see the works that Imam Shafi'i Rahimahullah left behind, so that, remember, that's his great legacy. If we leave all the ta'assub and all the, you know, being prejudiced and so forth, well, haqwa haqwa yuttaba. We should always speak the truth, remember that. That usulul fiqh, to write it, you must remember, in a proper methodological manner and so forth, was Imam Shafi the first person, al-risala, fi usul al-fiqh. So I have that book, you must remember, and it's excellent. And Ahmed Muhammad Shakir, he edited it and so forth. So what a great contribution. First person to write Usulul Fiqh was him. Then you see Imam Shafi rahimahullah wrote, you must remember, Ikhtilafu Malik wa Shafi'i. So this he wrote, you must remember, he made imla of it. The ikhtilaf and differences I have between me and my teacher. So you must, and thus he dictated to his student, Rabi al-Muradi. So you must remember these things here, that this is where I differ with Imam Malik rahimahullah. There's a nice story which I'll mention to you now. And then he also did not agree with the Hanafi school. I told you with the Hanafi school, they said istihsan is a dalil. So he, Imam Shafi's famous maqula and saying was, man istahsana faqad shara'a. When you start making istihsan, then it's like you're going to start a new sharia. Because people can say, no, there's a need for this, there's need for that. Anyway, these are all academic discussions. So he wrote a book, Ibtalul Istihsan. So you must remember that. So he wrote a book, Ikhtilaful Hadith. You must remember, this also was the first kitab to be written on how you can make tawfiq, tatbiq, reconcile certain ahadith and all these type of things. So like that, he wrote so many books, Musnadu Shafi'i and all that. So he wrote, or his students wrote, and all these type of things. So I was telling you, you must remember that there's a nice incident. Sheikh Wahba Zuhaili has mentioned this, that one day these Maliki students, they got so upset with Imam Shafi rahimahullah. Now you must know, Imam Shafi was born in Gaza. And you must remember, he grew up after 2 years because he's yatim. His father passed away, came to Makkah. From there he went to Medina, studied there. Then he went to here and there, then he went to Baghdad. So many times, there Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahimahullah met him. Then he left Baghdad 199, some say 200, but most say 199 after the Hijrah. And he went to Egypt. And there he found so many new ahadith and so forth and so forth. So this is the separating line, Al-Haddul Fasil. All the verdicts, remember, that were given before his entering Egypt is Al-Qawlul Qadim, his old verdict. And the new verdict, Al-Qawlul Jadid, is, you must remember, after he made hijrah to Cairo and Egypt and all that. So, if you study Fiqh Shafi'iyah, you will find 99-95% of the fatawa are on the Qawl Jadid, Muzani and all of them, you must remember. And 17 fatawa of Imam Shafi'i is on Qawl Qadim. So 17 is very little compared to all the others. And that is Afrani and all those students and so forth. So anyway, we must remember, so the Malikis, there were some students overzealous, overenthusiastic. They used to make dua. They used to go in sajda. And they used to say, Allahumma amit al-Shafi'i. Ya Allah, let Imam Shafi'i die quickly. So how can you make dua like that? Because you say, if Allah, you're going to give him long life, then mata mazhabu Malik, the mazhab of Malik will die away, meaning will go away. Because Imam Malik's mazhab was in North Africa. Yet Imam Shafi came, he broke this dalil, broke this dalil, broke this dalil. So the people will leave, you must remember, the call of Imam Shafi'i and then the verdict of Imam Malik and come to Imam Shafi. So one student, he took the keys. And he threw it in the direction of Imam Malik. He took the keys, the students of Imam Malik or student, and he took the keys and he threw it in the direction of Imam Shafi'i and even injured him. You must remember that. Now that is obviously unacceptable, but this is now sometime how passionate people become. You must remember. We call it ta'assub actually. So we must understand that all this type of now, you call that the debates raging on. So these were the debates that used to rage on and so forth. But we say no. We must inna makhtalafu li ajli al-haq wa makhtalafu fil haq. They differed for the sake of truth. They did not differ in truth. Always remember that, and in that way, and they had so much love and respect for one another, but they had more respect for the truth also. Imam Malik is the teacher, Imam Shafi is the student, but he wrote a book. This is why I differ with my teacher on this, with ihtiram and with respect and so forth. So that is what you call that academic brilliance of our forefathers, our jurists, our scholars and so forth.
Hazrat Mufti Sahib, are there any special aspects with regards to Imam Shafi Rahmatullah Alayhi's dars?
So you must remember Imam Shafi'i Rahimahullah's dars, obviously there used to be hundreds and thousands of students who used to benefit and so forth. He was giving dars of tafsir, he was giving dars of hadith, teaching fiqh, teaching lugha, teaching ash'ar and poetry, because he was such a versatile scholar and so forth. You know, I'll just mention to you a few things here, because we, the ulama and the scholars and the students, we should know all these things here. People who want to undermine Imam Shafi'i's verdicts, you know, and so forth and so on. So they said, yes, but he's like a confused person. So one title they use, actually like a derogatory title for him, they say, Ash-Shafi'i Sahibul Qawlain. That he's a person who got everywhere, always, almost everywhere, two verdicts, one verdict this. But I gave you the usul. That, remember, he wrote his book, Kitabul and all that, after he went to Egypt and so forth. So those are the books that you have to refer to and so forth, and study the works of Allama Nawawi, A'lamun Nas bi Madhabi Shafi'iyya, is Imam Nawawi Rahimahullah, and then who came much after that, remember. So in that way you understand the Shafi'i fiqh properly. So there's a book called Haqiqatul Qawlain Indal Imam Shafi wa ghayrihi min al fuqaha. So you must remember, this is written by who? By none other than Hujjatul Islam Abu Hamid al Ghazali. So subhanallah, that he explained already what do they mean. This is the genius of a person, that you must remember that you passed the fatwa, and then you found our Quranic verses, you could receive more, you know, insight in it, or interpretation in it, fatawa of sahaba, or tafsir of sahaba, or you found ahadith and so forth. So you make ruju, you withdraw, and you retract your first verdict, and you go to the second verdict. You take Imam Abu Hanifa, I just give you one example. In Fatawa Imadiya, it's written, you must remember, today when our Hanafi ulama teach this, remember, very few will mention this here. So when they teach the masla of Luhumul Khail, that is, are horses permissible or not? So horse is permissible according to everybody, Shafi'is, Malikis, Ambalis, and Sahibain, Imam Abu Yusuf, Imam Muhammad of the Hanafi school. So the Hanafi famous fatwa is makruh, and that is Nusiba ila Abi Hanifa. So that is what Imam Abu Hanifa said. But if you study Fatawa Imadiya, you will find Raja'a ila qawli sahibain qabla wafatihi bi thalathat ayyam. So Imam Abu Hanifa, right till the ending of his life, you must remember, he was making ruju, and he withdrew and retracted his original fatwa and said it's permissible. So if today you say regarding the meat of the horses and so forth is totally permissible, there's ijma consensus, is correct. You must remember this type of things here. So that is what we must learn. Go into the depth of the fiqh and so forth and so on. So that is what Imam Shafi'i was doing, you must remember. That go everywhere, try and obtain and get more and more knowledge. That and more of the fatawa and the verdicts and ahadith. So that is the kamal of a person, not the weakness of a person. That all the time he was studying. People say it's hadith, but it's not hadith. It's a proverb, it's a saying, Utlubul ilma min al mahdi ila al lahdi. Seek knowledge from the cradle to the grave. Seek knowledge from the womb to the tomb. So we must remember that in a case like that, that we will say that you must remember that is the greatness of Imam Shafi'i Rahimahullah, that he, people now want to, this thing, you know, to criticize him, so they would say that no, he's Sahibul Qawlain and this type of thing. But we say that this is manaqib and virtues. Another book ulama should try and get, and this one I use a lot. You must remember المسائل الفقهية التي انفرد بها الإمام الشافعي من دون إخواني من الأئمة. So when we discuss Quran Sharif tafsir or Ahadith Mubarakah or Al-Fiqh Al-Madhaib Al-Arba, so you must remember that I have books, and inshallah next week when we discuss about Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal also I'll tell you. So many masail Imam Shafi'i is one side. I'll give you one, two examples. And the Malikis, the Hanafis, and you must remember, the Hanbalis are on the other side. So three Imams are on one side, and Imam Shafi'i alone one side. So this is an excellent book. And by who is it written? By Hafiz ibn Kathir. Same one who wrote the Tafsir. And he and Shaykhul Islam ibn Taymiyyah are buried in Maqabiru Sufiya, there in Damascus. We must remember that. That is Ibn Kathir and Ibn Taymiyyah, rahimahullah. So this is an excellent book. See, nowadays, people ask the question about solar geysers and solar heating and so forth. In Arabic, you call that al-ma'ul mushammas. So Imam Shafi'i, rahimahullah, says that when you have water that is directly exposed to the sun, for example, like a pool and all that. So he says you must remember to use that is makruh and not permissible, and that فَإِنَّهُ يُورِثُ الْبَرَصِ, so it will cause leprosy and so forth. But when you study the hadith, it's in Dharaqutni and so forth, there is a very, very weak hadith. So the Hanafis and the Malikis, Hanbalis, all of them said no. Totally permissible to use the ma'ul mushammas or solar heating, all that, totally permissible. So now if you want details of this, where you will find? In this kitab, Al-Masailul Fiqhiyya, Allati Infarada Biha Al-Imam Shafi'i, where Imam Shafi'i is alone, and the other three are on the one side. See Qurbani time. So Qurbani, days of slaughtering, 10, 11, 12. So that's what we all agree. But Imam Shafi'i is alone. He says, no, you can slaughter on the 13th also. So only he says that, no one else. So therefore, a book like this, for people who want to know fiqh, and you want to know the depth, and you want to probe into it, that's a masterpiece, that's excellent books to have. And then you get people, remember, they object on the Shafi'i school, and you know, all these kind of things. So there's another excellent book here, mashallah. So you must remember, Mas'alatul Ihtijaj bi Shafi'i fima usnida ilay wa raddu ala ta'iin. So you must remember this. I met the author and he gave this to me, mashallah. So the person who's a muhakkik and mudakkik and so forth, is Sheikh Khalil Ibrahim Mullah Khatir, mashallah, he's there in Medina Munawwara. And remember, this book was written by Imam Khatib Baghdadi, rahimahullah. And Sheikh Khalil Ibrahim Mullah Khatir edited it. So these are excellent, excellent books to get and obtain if you really want to understand the Shafi'i school and so forth. Beside all the works that are written, you must remember, by Nawawi and them, the Majmu' and all the others and so forth. So that is how then. Another mistake we make, you know, this I can't understand. And it's really very poor scholarship. You want to look for Shafi'i school, what is their fatwa, and you go look in Hidayah. You go see in the Hanafi book. You want to look for Hanafi fatwa, and you go look in the Maliki book. That is a crime, you must remember. That is poor scholarship. Any madhab you want to study it, you must remember that you must go to their books. Because you must remember that many a time when you quote from our book, the Hanafi book or Maliki book or whatever, then that is not the mufta bihi, that is not the fatwa, that is one of the qawl of the Shafi'is or Hanbalis or whatever. So this is a common error also nowadays, that people, you must remember, when they want to issue fatwa, then they don't go to that imam or his students and so forth books, but they go to another kitab that he got, and that kitab might be a Hanafi kitab or Maliki, and from there you go. That's unfair, that's not right. So whether it's the Hanafi, Shafi, Maliki school, then always go to their own kitabs, and from there, inshallah, you pass the verdict. That is being academic and scholarly, inshallah.
Alhamdulillah, beautiful points mentioned by Mufti Saab. Inshallah, we'll take a break now and we'll continue after the break, inshallah. We return after this break, and Mufti Saab, the next question is, what was the usul and the methodology of Imam Shafi'i rahmatullah alayh?
Remember that every imam has their own methodology and so forth and so on. So if you study, you must remember the usul of the Shafi'is, you will find the following. that Imam Shafi rahimahullah and them, obviously number one will be Quran Kareem. Number two will be the Sunnah Mubarakah, that is Qawlun Nabi, Fa'lun Nabi, Taqreerun Nabi, all that. Taqreer means the tacit approval of Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Qawl means the speech Mubarak, Fa'l Amal will mean the actions of Imam Shafi'i, of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and so forth and so on. And thereafter, you must remember that you got ijma, the ijma of Sahaba and so forth and so on. But you must remember Imam Shafi'i rahimahullah would not really accept the fatwa of the Sahaba just like that. You must remember that. So there must be other qara'in and all those type of things. Then only would he accept it and so forth. So we need to be careful like that. And then he would accept, you must remember, obviously if there's ijma of Sahaba and all that, that definitely is accepted. And then the qiyas he would accept. And then I told you, you must remember that Imam Shafi rahimahullah would not accept istihsan. So there he would make a rad, he would disagree with the Hanafi scholars. Likewise, he would not accept al-masalih al-mursala. So you must remember that the Malikis have, that also he would not accept. Likewise, he would not accept, you must remember, ta'amulu ahlil madina, that which Imam Malik would accept. So from there you could see that every one of these imams was an independent mujtahid, and they had, now in this day, this age, you can't have that. People don't have the knowledge, we don't have the taqwa, all that. People today work with governments and they are paid by governments, so they have to look at all that and so many other issues. So therefore, in this day and this age, to have a true mujtahid, it won't happen. Mujtahid mutlaq, what we call. So you can have mujtahid fin nawazil. Mujtahid fin nawazil it means some new masail crop up, and then you have a panel of ulama and muftis and scholars and so forth. But mujtahid mutlak you won't have. That you can just forget that in this day and this age. And then you must remember Imam Shafi rahimahullah. This is why you find that there is, you must remember, difference on opinion. See, when you now, this I need to explain a bit. So see, when you see the ahadith, so you have ahadith that are marfu and so forth, it has a chain, and none of the rawis are missing, and reporters are missing, and so forth. Then you have hadith sahih and a lot of others. Then one hadith, you have hadith mursal. So remember this, if you open Imam Abu Dawood, simple example I give you. And if you take the copies that are printed in India, Pakistan, like that's the copy we used to use. So the Kitab Sunan Abi Dawood, written by Imam Abu Dawood, who was a giant himself. Then at the back of that book, you will find Marasil of Imam Abu Dawood. So Marasil is the plural of Mursal. And he mentioned 800 Marasil, ahadith there. So what is the definition of Mursal? Ma rawahu at-tabi'i wa ahdafa isma sahabi. So you find a tabi'i, a successor who met sahaba, he's reporting, but the name of the sahabi, the beloved companion, you must remember that his name is omitted. Example, easy example. You say Anil Hasan al-Basri. Hazrat Hasan Basri rahimahullah, now everybody agrees, he's not a sahabi, he's a tabi'i. He met Sahaba, many Sahabas he met. He was born, you must remember, during the ending time of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anh. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anh made his tahniq as well. In Madinah Munawwara he was born. And Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anh made the wonderful dua for him. Allahumma faqihu fid deen wa habibhu ila nas. Ya Allah, give him profound knowledge. That is for Hasan Basri. He became an imam, the sage of the age. When I was in Iraq, I bought one nice booklet there, Kutayb, you know. Al-Imam Al-Hasan Al-Basri Al-Wa'iz Al-Bakka. So there's excellent book, small level, the words there, wonderful. And wahabibhu ila nas, and make him beloved to the people. So he became imam in hadith, he became imam in so many, imam in tasawwuf, in tazkiyah, and so forth and so on. But the name of sahaba he didn't mention. So Anil Hasan Al-Basri qala Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So awwalu man ankara hujjiyat al-irsal, hujjiyat al-mursal, the first of the scholars. So in time of Tabi'in, it was accepted. In time of Imam Abu Hanifa, Imam Abu Hanifa is Tabi'in, but min sigari Tabi'in. So you must remember that it was accepted. In time of Malik, Imam Malik, it was accepted. Then you come to the time of Imam Shafi'i, he rejected it. He said, we cannot take Mursal Hadith as a Dalil in fiqh and so forth, unless he brought another 4 or 5 conditions and so forth and so on. So it shows that that is why also you have so many differences of opinion, because he, Imam Shafi'i rahimahullah, and in fact if you open, you must remember the Marasil of Imam Abu Dawood in the beginning, they have a very nice and academic discussion on this there. So you must remember that that is what is to do. So the main aim of Imam Shafi'i rahimahullah was a jam'ahu bain al-fiqh wal-hadith. He wanted, you must remember, the fiqh of Shafi'iyya must come closer, closer, closer to the hadith and so forth and so on. So that is one of the, you know, they call the khasa'is, and one of the virtues or one of the distinctions of, you must remember, Imam Shafi'i's fiqh and so forth. And there's a whole series written on this, which I have, alhamdulillah. So it's about 8 or 9 books written by Imam Muhammad Abu Zahra. He's an Egyptian scholar. So he wrote Al-Imam Abu Hanifa, Al-Imam Malik, Al-Imam Shafi'i, Al-Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal, Al-Imam Ja'far, Imam Ibn Taymiyyah. Then he wrote Imam Ibn Hazm. So like that, it's got on 8, 9. You must remember that. So wonderful series. So you will find a lot of this information even in that book there by Sheikh Muhammad Abu Zahra. The Egyptians used to call him Imam Muhammad, Imam Abu Zahra. So he's got very, very good books, some of them, remember that. For example, one book he's got is Tarikhul Madhaib al-Islamiyyah, that the history of the various madhaib and so forth and so on.
Mufti Saab, with regards to the trials, we know that all the Imams went through a lot of trials. So can Mufti Saab please tell us a few of the trials of Imam Shafi rahmatullah alayh?
So you must remember that always they would go through trials, because you must remember they lived in times where the politicians, you must remember, they were the ones who wanted that everything must be according to their style and their system and so forth and so on. And each one of them, Imam Abu Hanifa, Imam Malik, Imam Shafi'i, Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal, each one of them faced this. And you know that Allah alone knows about sincerity. But we will say, therefore, Almighty Allah Jalla Wala really chose them. You must remember that, that they were the people who never ever compromised, even though they had to go to jail and so forth and so on. So Imam Abu Hanifa, same thing happened. Imam Malik, same thing. Imam Shafi, Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal. And you know, I was telling you about the old school, that the old verdict of Imam Shafi'i rahimahullah. So if you want, you must remember then to know the names of those people who compiled the old one of Imam Shafi'i rahimahullah. It was Imam Za'afrani and Imam Karabisi, Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal, Abu Thawr and them. And you must remember the ones who were the new ones who wrote the Qawl Jadid of Imam Shafi'i rahimahullah. So they were also four: Al-Imam Buwaiti, Al-Imam Muzani, and then Arubay Al-Muradi. So you must remember that he's the one who is the one who's the Ravi of Imam Shafi'i, meaning in Hadith and so forth, and Yunus bin Abdul A'la. So like that, you will find that they are the people, you must remember, who compiled the works of Imam Shafi'i rahimahullah, and then this became, you must remember, that the fatawa of Imam Shafi'i, and in all the issues, except in 17 issues, as I mentioned previously.
Mufti Saab, with regards to the books, Mufti Saab did mention a few books, but for the general people, are there any books of Imam Shafi rahmatullah alayhi?
So the best is, you must remember that for the Shafi'i fiqh and so forth, that if you are a person who knows Arabic, then you should read the works written by Allama Nawawi rahimahullah. So he was a person who was very, very great, and his works and so forth. Then remember, in the English language and so forth, you will find some translations and so forth and so on. But you know that I always say that we should try and go to the original sources to understand fiqh. You know, in English there's a saying, a translator is a traitor. So a translator is a traitor. So, and another thing also we must remember, I mean, this is again, you must remember. You see, sometimes we get caught up in ta'assub and a lot of issues. Let me give you three, four things. So Ibn Hajar, today we call him, when you just say, in the shuru heart of hadith, in the commentaries of hadith, if you say, waqal al-hafiz, if you just leave it like that, so it is understood that it is Hafiz Ibn Hajar. He was, you must remember, even a person like Sheikh Albani. We don't agree with everything of Sheikh Albani, but Sheikh Yunus Rahimahullah, who was a great muhaddith himself, and Hazrat Sheikh appointed him to teach Bukhari Sharif there in Saharanpur. So you must remember that he himself used to tell me that Sheikh Albani bought Bare Muhaddith. Twice I asked him that. So you must remember that Sheikh Albani was a great muhaddith. Although he made mistakes, remember that. We don't say we agree. So he, Sheikh Albani, used to say, لَمْ يُولَدْ مِثْلَهُ بَعْدَهُ. You will never find another Ibn Hajar. So Ibn Hajar Asqalani in his Fathul Bari, and that you will find a lot of the Shafi'i fiqh. Even his Bulughul Maram. Therefore, you know, in Newcastle, Darulum, we had mostly Shafi'i students. So that is one of the best books. And Bulughul Maram is excellent. It's translated in English. So that, if you want to know the Shafi'i madhab and the Shafi'i dalil, so that will be an excellent starting point. You must remember that, because Ibn Hajar was really passionate about the Shafi'i school. So if people who are really want to understand the Shafi'i fiqh from hadith point of view, then you should go first to Bulughul Maram, and then you go further, Fathul Bari, and so forth and so on. Then Tafsir Ibn Kathir, Hafiz Ibn Kathir, I gave you his work, Al-Masail Al-Fiqiyya Allati in Faradabiyah. So they are all Shafi'is, so must remember. So some of the greatest ulama who we quote when we teach or when we study daily, every person quotes Ibn Hajar in hadith, every person quotes Ibn Kathir in tafsir and so forth and so on. So they all were Shafi'is. You must remember these type of things there. So then you get, you must remember Subki and all of them. So they were all Shafi'is and so forth. So Allah Jalla Wala accepted great scholars to, and Nawawi and Bayhaqi, so they all were Shafi'is. Daraqutni, so he was 100% Shafi'i, and Daraqutni, therefore he raised so many objections, you must remember, against the Hanafi school and so forth. But this is all academic discussion and so forth. First of all, today, people won't even understand the objection, because sometimes they don't even understand the mazhab properly. So you must understand the mazhab properly, and then you can understand why that person is objecting and so forth and so on. Abu Hamid al-Ghazali was Shafi'i and so forth. He also wrote books on the Shafi'i fiqh and so forth. So like that you will find. Every school you will have giants, you must remember, that ulama who followed them and so forth and so on. So therefore we say, you must remember that al-haqqu bayn al-a'immati al-arba'a. That best is, we say, that the truth, it rotates among the four schools. Don't say everywhere, every place, the Hanafi school is the best. Don't say everywhere, every time, the Shafi school is the best, or the Maliki school, or the Hanbali school. So Allah Jalla Wala chose them. Allah Jalla selects whoever he wants. And they were there to protect the deen. I told you last week, I must tell you now, we're discussing Imam Shafi'i. Subhanallah, Allah just put it in my mind. Wonderful statement, profound statement of Imam Shafi'i. And if you want some reference of it offhand, so Irshadul Qari. So you must remember that's a work written by Hazrat Mufti Rashid Ahmad Ludhianvi, the author of Ahsanul Fatawa. So he wrote an introduction, you must remember, on Bukhari Sharif. So in there you will find this, a beautiful saying. I really loved it when I saw it. وَقَالَ الشَّافِعِي. See what Imam Shafi'i said. He said, جَمِيعُ مَا تَقُولُهُ الْأَئِمَّةِ. Whatever the imams, they say, imams means all of them, the fuqaha, the jurors, شَرْحٌ لِلسُنَّةِ. So it is an elaboration, explanation of the sunnah, the ahadith mubarakah. وَجَمِيعُ مَا تَقُولُهُ السُّنَّةُ And remember whatever the sunnah speaks of. You must remember شَرْحُلْ لِلْقُرْآنِ So once you understood it like that, now you get these some jahil, ignorant people, Salafis. They say, yes, you'll teach fiqh first, then you'll teach hadith and that. You must teach hadith first. No. You first teach the fiqh. The Shafi'i say so, the Hanafi say so, the Maliki say so. Then you go to the hadith. That is, you come to the istidlal. So that is how you will understand and you will get the faqquh fi din. Then you learn the usuls from the Quran and so forth and so on. So that is how you will. Not the other way around. The other way around, what will happen is that you will get more confused and then you become a freelancer like the Salafis and them. I don't say all, but many of them. And if you want the reference of this also, if open Kitabul Janais in Tirmidhi Sharif, there you will find Imam Shafi Rahimullah himself said, Al Fuqaha wa a'lamu bi ma'ani al hadith. The Fuqaha. You know, when I used to teach there in Darulum, I used to always give the example. I say, with people like me and you, you go fishing. So then you cast. You will just cast from here till there. But these Fuqaha, they used to cast right inside the middle of the ocean. And from there, they used to pull, take the istimbat and ijtihad, take out the pearls and take out the rubies and take out. So take out the masail from there, remember that, not from their pocket. So that is why they were such great mujtahideen and so forth. So that is, so all are interlinked. The Quran interlinked with Sunnah. Sunnah interlinked with Quran. Fiqh interlinked with the Hadith and the Quran. So that is why you have to join all of them together, and then that brings about the Sharia.
Mufti Saab, the next question is with regards to the students of Imam Shafi Rahmatullah Alayh. Can Mufti Saab please mention a few students and the teachers as well?
So you must remember that Imam Shafi'i's famous teachers, we mentioned to you, one was Sufyan bin Uyayna, Imam Malik, Imam Muhammad and like that. And there were many, many others, obviously. And students, Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal is the celebrated ones. And now, just now when I mentioned, you must remember that regarding the Qawla Qadim, Qawla Jadid, I told you about his famous students. What I think that time is almost finished. Let me come to the ending of Imam Shafi's life. So you must remember he was born in Gaza, and there in Gaza, you must remember the people say Gaza, we say Gaza as Muslims. And there Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alaihi wasallam's great grandfather, so you must remember Hashim is buried there, and Imam Shafi was born there. And Imam Shafi rahimahullah, the last 4 or 5 years of his life, remember he spent there in Cairo, and then on the night of Jumu'ah he passed away. And remember that thousands of people came for his janaza salat. And remember Habibuna sallallahu alaihi wasallam's hadith, من توفاه الله يوم الجمعة أو ليلتها وقاه الله من فتنة القبر. That whosoever passes away on a Friday, the night of Friday, the day of Friday, Allah Jalla Wala protects that person, remember, from the punishment of the grave. So this is how Allah Ta'ala accepted him. Therefore, I would urge everyone that we must love each one of these imams, although we might have differences, but remember that they gave their life for the sake of Islam, and then Allah Jalla Wala will bless us with the true knowledge. So inshallah, next week we will discuss Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahimahullah. Barakallahu feek. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
We say jazakumullah to Mufti Saab for those amazing pearls, and we head on for the news now. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.